The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Store 15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio broadcast signal itself. However, people from all over the USA are able to tune in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now, afterwards, you'll be able to listen to past broadcasts as well as today's broadcast in a few hours. And I'm asking all of you to take that link and send it off to family and friends so that we can have our family of supporters continue to grow. You know, we have many people who help us out throughout the year, many people who give many types of opinions. And I want to say thank you to the Northeast Times newspapers, all of their editions, who put in the commentary in their editions, promoting American workers and my weekly commentary, because it is helping us to get our message out, welcome people to tune into our broadcast and do all these positive things. Some very positive things are needed to be done to keep us united and strong. And people who help us to do that are individuals like Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, people like our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm always very pleased that you're here with me. I'm Michael Blihash, and thank you for doing everything that you can, as I always ask people to go out of their way to take the Buy American Made campaign challenge. And what that simply is when you go shopping in any particular store, I ask that you look at every label. Looking at labels has really helped. People are, especially these days, as people are being killed with all these prices. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, too, because people are saying that there were some very good comments in the Northeast Times regarding some of my commentary articles. And I appreciate those kinds of things because we're supplementing each other, making sure that we get that message out and encourage people. If we don't encourage people, I don't know who's going to do it. It's certainly not people in government and in many other fields, because everybody seems to be out looking for their own issues rather than trying to get the people united and strong. In fact, this week's commentary, which will be up on the radio broadcast on Saturday, and it'll also be linked on the front page where you could see all of the past broadcasts. You can see here, I'm trying to get people together to talk about issues like what's been going on in 35 years. Where have we sold ourselves down the river? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of major corporations being sold, totally sold out to foreign countries, to foreign investors. And the sad part of it is, and the most interesting part of it is, that people who invested or brought over the American companies to their countries to do the work, as time went on, they decided, let's find out if we can buy this company lock, stock, and barrel, not just produce the stuff. And that's why we lost a lot of brand names to foreign investors, and now they do whatever they want to do. Well, American workers and all taxpayers are really suffering. During the last 19 months, we're paying a lot of high prices for everything. So we don't want to see more of our dollars wasted foolishly. I want to ask a few questions of our panel members today, and I think they'll like this question. You know, there's been so much of the news media taking their time to push back on the things that Nancy Pelosi did as she went over to visit these foreign countries. Was she asked by those leaders of the countries to come over there and talk about what issues? How will Nancy's trip benefit American workers, but mainly America's taxpayers? And by the way, did America's taxpayers have to pay for this trip? And what are they going to get in return? You know, as I listen to it, no one is saying this should not be a trip that we pay for as taxpayers for any reason, any public relations or whatever. This is a political year campaign. And if she wanted a vacation, she could do that on her own. This was not something that we should have been paying for, putting hundreds of people getting this trip ready, paying for all that fuel, protection, the whole deal. We, as taxpayers, want to see a documented report what she accomplished with this trip, which cost millions and millions and millions of dollars in staff time, fuel, use of the airport, use of the airplane, the whole deal. This is what I don't understand. We're wasting our time watching this. I'd like to ask an opinion on someone regarding that particular subject, and that person is Mark Andel. Mark, if you were in charge, would you allow such a trip to take place?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And I think Larkin and hopefully Rich is on. And Mike, good question. You know, I would have liked to seen more togetherness from the president, the Pentagon, you know, Nancy Pelosi, if they were to do this, to get together on it. Of course, we don't want to bow to China. That's not the question, right? But to do something like that with the money and use it for, you know, more teamwork, more team effort, I think would have been better off, Mike. We've got so many things going on. I wanted to touch base a little bit, Mike. You know, for us with General Welding Made in America, it's that time of year again. Happy August to all. I don't know what happened to July, Mike, but it went fast. I don't know about for you.
You better believe it.
Oh, my God. You know, that's a vacuum month, I always call it, but it went fast. But we're setting up for the Erie County Fair. We talk about it every year. You know, they were the second largest fair in the country. They got hit with COVID 2 years ago. No fair, and it's a million-plus people visit the Erie County 12-day event. And last year they pulled it off. But this year's more back to normal, but gate prices are, you know, $15, so everything's up. But we're excited. We're setting up a 6,000-plus square-foot Made in America store. Inside an expo building tied with the New York State Lottery. And then we've got our general welding and fabricating display that I went three times larger than normal. And, Mike, why do you do this? We're thinner. We got less people. But it's about exposure, relationship building. As you know, you do a lot of shows and talks. And it's about, you know, trying to get sales in this tough time. And, you know, one thing I wanted to mention, you know, that's a very positive, very tough on our team. We keep everything open. We keep our four Made in America stores open, the two General Welding, and we do this extra Made in America store and extra huge display. You know, my feet will be sore at the end. You know, it's a big team effort. But we've done it for 33 years. I want to mention, too, this past Monday, General Welding was 33 years old. I opened August 1st, 1989. I had done Mark Small Engine Welding before that. But so I got about 36 years in business, but 33 years with General Welding, and that ties to the fair we've done for 33 years. So I don't know where time goes, Mike, but we keep trying, even though the world's changed, administration's changed. And I want to talk about one thing. You know, we still have rapid inflation, product shortage, and worker shortage going on as strong as ever. The last over 2 years, we're in a recession, Mike. I don't care what they call it, what they rename it. You can look up the definition. We're in a recession. If you can't face that brutal fact, there's poor leadership right there. You know, the only way to fix the problem is to face it and to admit it. You know, the dollar just isn't going. You got inflation. The dollar just isn't going as far. I've got family spending $400 or $500 more this month, this year, than last year at the same month. And that's fact. The dollar doesn't go as far. And to win a job here at General Welding, to try to sell a job to a residential owner or even commercial, I'm working harder and harder. It takes 2 months to close a deal, and it's not at the price I first quoted, Mike, because people are watching that dollar. you don't have to watch the news to know about a recession. You have to watch what you're paying at the grocery store, what eggs cost, what fuel costs. You know, you have to face that. I love that they're trying to rename it. They don't want to call it that. That, to me, Mike, is the problem with the administration.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, there was no advance consideration on what would be happening once the gas and oil drilling was cut here in the United States. No consideration about how much prices would rise, not only the cost at the pump, but how the trickle-down cost of all those prices would be killing the people going to work, going to the store. How much was the entrance fee to the fair before?
Yeah, you know, we went from 7 to 8 to 9, but to 10, but to be at $15. So, you know, you bring up the fair, I bring up the fair. It's a great event. We put a lot of time into it, but where's the disposable income for these families? Will they get to the fair? They got one day, the first day of the fair, next Wednesday, you bring four cans of food, and they tied with the city food drive, so you get in free that day. They're going to honor veterans one day and firefighters one day and Gold Star mothers. But generally, you're paying $15 a ticket, and it's no cash at the gate. You got to use a credit card. So COVID's done things good, bad, and ugly. They've taught things. Some things aren't going back to the old norm, meaning like cash at a gate. You've got to use a credit card, Mike. So, you know, $15 if you take a family of four, if it was Henry, or and then you've got to spend, you know, I'm not sure what a hamburger is going to cost, but I'm betting it's $16 to $20 for the basic, you know, basic food. So it's a very costly outing to go with your family to a fair and to enjoy yourself. Not that people aren't going to do it, but I'm concerned with what disposable income they have to spend on extra products, be it at our Made in America store. You know, we have a whole nother product problem I want to talk about is the truck shortage. You know, how do all these things, we just can't make it up. So we sell snow plows, ice and snow control equipment. A Ford truck, again, you can't order an F-250, 350, or 450. You can't even place the order till January. And then you might get it 6 months to a year after that. My buddy ordered a one-ton Chevy last week. He was told, he put money down, Mike, he's not going to get the truck till 2024 or 2025. Now, 2-3 years.
How do you stay in business?
Mike, I've got to put equipment on these. So I'm flying up the boss, a big distributor, meeting in the UP this coming week, and we're talking about, but Boss Snowplows is the largest. There's 100,000 snowplows sold in the United States with Western, Fisher, all my competition, and then Boss Snowplow. Boss worked very hard over 30 years to become number one in the snow and ice control business, but now they're facing problems. They're 95% built in this country, but there's things like the wire harness or the control that comes from China or overseas. They can't get them right now, so they got supply chain issues. They should have never went 100% overseas with that item. But also the truck shortage. Usually we're worried about snow. Is it going to snow this year? Do people, you know, I mean, we're basing it, you know, we want a crystal ball on snow or weather. Now there's no trucks to put them on. These things aren't talked about at all. And Chevy and Ford, how do they stay in business? They're losing sales. Do they have the sale on a truck? Yes, but it might show up next year or the year after in their sales journal. So, Mike, there's so many problems. Steel's still at $1.50 a pound before the pandemic was 50 cents a pound. You can't ignore these facts going on, and that's what I feel is going on.
Absolutely. And Mark, I want to just add, back in 2005, I was asking our good political people to mandate that businesses remain in the United States with at least 50% of the manufacturing of every product. I said, okay, they want to be globalized and all. I said, you know, I was even telling people, I said, well, in America, we could make whatever we use in America. And for the global economy, they can make whatever they want to make in a foreign country. But the problem is, Mark, I'm learning more and more. I saw that the second, and that's why I urged everybody to support the Emergency Energy Act in Congress and in the Senate. Everybody's afraid to touch it. And I'm wondering now with the midterm election, if there will be some brazen person that once elected will say, now that I'm in there, I'm going to introduce the legislation to stop, freeze all the prices for whatever. I mean, I read that Nixon froze the prices for like 90 days. just to give everybody a chance to see what the hell is going on. In America, because of the energy situation, and Mark, you know, I know, Henry knows, Larkin knows, that 5 years ago we all knew that only 5% of the energy used in America was moving, and that was mainly energy, but people putting those things on the top of their roofs and trying to, you know, generate heat and a little bit of electricity. That was never going to be any kind of a situation where we snap our finger and, wow, it's all done. This presidential legislation, this executive order, was absolutely not thought out. The poor president did this at the request of Buttigieg and whoever else and this other guy, Curry, and did not think, what are we going to do? What are we going to destroy in the process? Yes, it's very true. We have to get to a point where in the United States and in the world, we look for solar energy. We look for easier ways for energy to be produced. But it's not going to happen at the snap of a finger. People like yourself, look at the chip deal. That was going on for so long. You know, not a phone. I mentioned that last week. Not a telephone is made in the United States of America. And the people at all these Texas Instruments, all these big board members voted yes, offshore, offshore, offshore. All these board members in New York City, without thinking, sold places like the insurance companies. John Hancock, one of our major people in the United States, that company is sold to another country. We don't even have Holiday Inn owned anymore in the United States. And I'm going to bring a list and just tell the people what is going on as a result of the people not saying much to their political leaders. And you know what else, Mark? We live in a free democracy. I feel that every piece of legislation that will affect every American for years to come should be put on a ballot. It may be a way to get the people out to vote, especially when it comes to taxes. If we're going to have to pay more taxes in a short period or forever, we should be able to agree with that at the pump. Our vote must be valued. Right now, we're putting our faith and our hope in the 535 elected people in Washington, and that's not going so good from what I see. If your person has to wait for a couple years to get the equipment they need, what do they do? How do they leave themselves open? What do? Drag the equipment down the street to get to the next place? It doesn't make any sense what these people are doing. And yet the American people say, oh, well, it's why they're there. It's why they're elected. There's also something which has been, you know, brought to my attention and through these newspaper commentaries and all. We have right now so many millions of people out of work. Okay, I can see that. However, we also have so many million people needed for jobs. One thing I don't understand is, how are people continuing to collect unemployment when there are millions of jobs? 10 million people are on unemployment, and there's 10 million jobs needed in the system. This doesn't make any kind of sense to me. There has to be some kind of leader getting together and say, wait a minute, we can't allow this to continue. Why are we paying unemployment when we need 10 million jobs? No less than 10 million workers right now. Doesn't make any sense to me. Just a thought to put on there. I had a good discussion with someone who responded to my commentary in the paper, and he said the same thing. Wait a minute. We're hearing about all these people needed in jobs. You need job seekers. Where are they at? They're on unemployment. They're not coming forward, and this is what we have. How about we turn to Dr. Larkin Conley? Larkin, you heard quite a bit today. What do you think about Nancy's trip, number one?
Good morning, Mike. Michael, how are you? Good morning to our listeners and my my fellow panel members. As usual, I'm going to build off of what Mark says, because what he says most of the time is exactly spot on. I want to make one notation about what I consider one of the toughest problems in our country, and that is citizen participation in the governmental process. Kansas, was it Kansas yesterday that had a Roe v. Wade issue on their ballot? I think it was Kansas, or was it Missouri? Well, I apologize for not being able to call
it
out.
It was Kansas, Barkin. It was Kansas.
It was Kansas. The first shot at responding to the Roe v. Wade ruling by the Supreme Court, and guess what? They had an overwhelming bombastic number one issue on the ballot today, the hottest issue in any state, city, household, neighborhood, abortion. They had a bombastic 47% of the electorate show up to vote on that yesterday. 47%. That's almost half of the citizens. The other half care, but don't want to take the effort. The other half don't give it a damn one way or another. I can't imagine. But for the first shot at Roe v. Wade, you have 40% of the electorate show up. That's embarrassing. My comment about Nancy Pelosi, I'm going to take it a step deeper. I'm going to do a little bit of a deeper dive. Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan is another level of expression on how bad or totally absent any level of foreign policy is coming out of Washington, D.C. I mean, when the Speaker of the House goes somewhere where we haven't had a politician go for 25 years, and the president's at home going, well, the military says it's a bad idea, she probably shouldn't go, and she goes anyway, I'm going to have to say that the foreign policy is completely and totally out of control. If I didn't know any better, I'd say Pete Buttigieg was running the State Department, but nonetheless. And my last concern is inflation. It's a huge issue. But here's the problem in America. Only in America can this happen. We're putting it all on credit cards. Americans are saying, whoa, wait a second. I'm not going to do without that dinner out. I'm not going to not drive somewhere because of the price of gas. Just put it on a credit card. And credit took an enormous jump last month. And it'll do it again this coming month. And the first thing you'll know will be buried personally, each household, in extreme debt.
Mm-hmm, you're right. Absolutely,
Because bankers almost call the shots anymore. Bankers are licking their chops. We're going to be lending out money at 16 to 24%. Bring it on! Let's go!
That's right.
And people go. Well, you know, we've been planning to go up to the mountains and take, you know, a couple weeks vacation up there, but I'll just put it on a credit card.
You know, Larkin, even people now that I, through my human service activities, people say that people are getting their gas bills attached to their credit card, their electric bills.
Yeah.
It's more convenient. But when this thing hits the fan at the end of the year, at the end of 6 months, and the amount keeps going up, your monthly payment or whatever, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Michael, don't worry, because you know what Washington, D.C. will do as well as I do. They'll become instant debt relief.
Well,
that's all.
You think that, Larkin, the thing that I had.
Let's not face that judgment day right now. We'll just give them debt relief. Here, you don't have to pay if your income is so low, you don't have to pay your debt back.
But Larkin, it's like, I must tell you this. This particular gentleman from the Northeast Times contacted me directly, and he really attacked me over certain legislation. I'm saying that everything should be in on the legislative ballot, and we put it on an election ballot. And he said, well, certain legislation would never pass because you're against pork within legislation. I said, yes, I am. Yes, I'm against pork. Yeah. He said, well, believe it or not, veterans wouldn't be able to get what they need. Children wouldn't be able to get what they need. Then if it didn't have all these little things tailing on that piece of legislation, I said, no, every piece of legislation should stand on its own.
Well, here's the deal.
You know, Larkin, you know, you've been in the political system. I don't think anything right now in the United States government stands on its own. It's got four, five, six additional pieces of smaller legislation. Otherwise, those smaller pieces would never get through the legislature. Is that true?
Well, that is very true. And if you're a journalist, and I would question, with all due respect, his journalistic abilities, if he's calling pork stuff that's attached to a standard bill out of Washington, D.C., then he needs to look up the word political pork. He doesn't understand. I would also say that if we get an opportunity today, I know that a friend of mine, I had a conversation yesterday, absolutely chilling conversation with Bruce Vassitar yesterday, in which he brought some GQ to me that he had discovered through some contacts that he has in England. And I heard this, and I thought, you have to, if we have the opportunity, come on and give these two pieces of news to the panel, because they, quite frankly, will find it very difficult to believe. It really is.
Let me go, Larkin, let me go to Rich, and then we're going to go to Bruce. But I want to just tell you this. This is something else that bugged the hell out of me. I said to one of the politicians, I said, right after you're reelected, because you have really no people running against you, I said, could you introduce legislation for at least 50% of everything sold in America to be made in America? And he said, I agree, but I never understand how we're going to be able to get something like this through. I'll say, well, let me tell you something. Many of the European countries, their law is 80%. And if it's 80, if it's 1% over 80, they start asking questions. Why aren't we making it here in our country to keep our people employed? So he said, well, let me get elected, and then we'll talk about it again. It's never an answer. Never an answer for anybody to give you something where, you know, positive. I said, would you introduce, as a congressman, would you introduce legislation to restore all of our energy production and all to the way it was at the beginning of the year 2020? And his question was, why 2020? And I said, well, because 2020, I'm not saying it was Trump's thing or not Trump's. I'm just saying the way it was in 2020. He said, now that could be sellable. I said, okay, let's go back to 2015, whatever, you know, whatever suits the budget. Rich, tell us everything. What's going on?
Hey, Michael. Good morning. Mark and Henry and Bruce, welcome on. I'm gonna just take a moment because I'm going to yield some time to Bruce because I'm happy to have him back on. I've been listening and reading and watching a lot of George Carlin recently. So if I'm extra cynical than usual, that explains why. because George Carlin, there's a documentary was just made about him by his daughter on HBO, and I watched it, and it was really great. It was really well done. But I guess I kept having this thought watching it that I think the world was a difficult place for a guy like George Carlin, because he was he's really highly intelligent. He was able to break down the mundane. You know, there's that famous skit, my stuff is SH blank and your SH blank is stuff, right? He broke, his famous skit and all this, and in George Carlin's in trying to look at everything we're talking about here, Michael, is that I read story after story every day, Mark, from American consumers talking about, wow, we have all this pent-up demand. I went and spent $10,000 at Disney and $5,000 on this cruise. And look, I understand the pandemic was difficult for kids especially. I get that, Mark. But the way that these consumers talk about it, they talk about it like they were just in a gulag for the last 2 years. Okay? Well, Mark, I tell you, it was really tough the last few years. It was like being in a prisoner of war camp. Well, where were you? Well, I was in my multi-million-dollar mansion swimming in my saltwater pool. But let me tell you, it was really tough. Woo! And why do I say that? Because Americans as a whole, my fellow American brothers and sisters, whom I have to love and I have to think highly of, we have convinced ourselves, Michael, as a nation, that we have right to luxury, that we have a right to whatever we want. And in that type of nation, Mark, over time, a nation that has convinced itself to believe they have a right to whatever first world luxuries they want, that is a nation that increasingly loses an understanding of the value of money. Period. It does. So right now, with everything going on in the world, Michael, inflation sucks. I've got a stack of orders on my desk right now, Mark, that I can't get paid on until they ship because of supply chain. But I'm going to say something that I said a few weeks ago. Welcome to capitalism. Because Americans have romanticized capitalism and have romanticized that they have a right to whatever luxury they want, romanticization creates a blind spot. When you look at the flip side of this, and as harmful as inflation has been for us, Michael, and I know families that are really, really struggling from it, but the reality is that American inflation compared to the rest of the first world is actually lower than the rest of the world. And that's because capitalism does have a positive effect for families. But there is also a flip side to it, and we're dealing with it. And the pandemic has accelerated, Larkin, all of what you're referring to. And it's why I'm saying that the future of America is the printing of money. It is only a matter of more Americans starting to understand that. Because the pandemic, Michael, has irreversibly changed the economics of the world. Period. It has. So
I agree.
Whatever government takes effect in January or sooner, depending on the state you're in the state government, I'm hoping that there's going to be some innovative ideas that are going to sit there. People are going to sit down and say, we have an idea to do this. We have an idea to do that. And Republican or Democrat, Michael, I'll look at it and say, I like that idea. Don't like that idea. Here in Florida, you've got counties that are starting to talk about converting vacant commercial properties into housing. I'm on board, Mark, because when more and more people start to notice tent cities forming around their neighborhoods, because the pandemic has irreversibly changed the economics of the world to such a point where working people, Mark, are not going to be able to afford a roof over their head. Then the tent cities are going to pop up. And then we're going to sit back and say, we need to do something about it. And unfortunately, Michael, last point in the spirit of George Carlin, the Homo sapiens species as a whole has not evolved yet to the point where enough of us, some of us do, but not enough of us understand that it's best to deal with a problem when it's a little kitchen fire. Our species, it's not just America, it's our species, the Homo sapiens species. We don't look at problem solving that way, Michael. We wait till it's a raging inferno, and then we call the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
So like every other issue, we're going to look at it, and we're going to wait, instead of dealing with it in a kitchen fire, we're going to wait until it's a blaze, right, Mark? It's a multi-story fire. Then we're going to call the fire department. So yes, to Larkin's point, civic engagement is necessary for problem solving. Not because government can solve all problems, but because people have to be involved and engaged. So with that having been said, I appreciate the time to rant and rave. And I will yield my time to Bruce, whom I'm happy to have back on.
Before we go to Bruce, I want to ask you a question, Rich. The orders that you said you're waiting for supplies for, where would those supplies be coming from?
Lots of places around the world, including some in the U.S. Some parts are the U.S. Some parts are Mexico. Some parts are coming from Asia.
What percentage of your needs are from foreign, and what percentage are from
more than half are from overseas, and I have been, Michael, I have been lobbying year after year, and it would warrant a longer discussion, but not to give myself credit here, but I've had some positive impact, Mark, on some of the commodities that I sell in technology, more and more being made in the U.S. I've had some little bit of influence there, more, not as much as I'd like, but even if it's a little step, Michael, I'll take it. See, I'll take progress. I know we want big leaps, and we got to keep working to that. And God knows Mark understands this better than anyone when it comes to Made in America. Because for 10 years, Mark, you've done the thankless work of trying to get people to buy American, right?
Right?
And on the surface, we would think, well, how is that a hard sell? Well, as Mark could tell you and attest to, it's not quite as easy a sell as everyone thinks it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't need to tell Mark that because, Mark, you live it. So, yeah, Michael, there's more than half, but I've lobbied. I'd like to think that I made little progress, and I keep working at it, Michael. Every day, my people hear from me. Every day. They hear from me, and we're going to keep working to keep making a little bit of progress. I wish it could all work in a straight line, but it doesn't, right? It zigs and it zags, and we can make a step forward, two steps back, but you got to keep pushing forward. Just like, I'm not comparing myself to Mark, but just like Mark, right? You continue, Mark, you started with a couple products. Now you got what? 10,000, 11,000 products all these years later. Okay. I'm sure Mark, all right, Mark, you sit there and say, I wish I had 100,000. I understand.
Right.
But progress doesn't come as quickly as we want. But Mark kept at it. So it is, Michael, it is still a majority of the components coming from overseas. But there's a consortium of people in my industry who have been lobbying for many, many years with manufacturers to get more product made here. And we're seeing gains, but we got to keep at it.
Let me ask you one more question. Of the two pieces from foreign and America, which is more expensive, which is less expensive, or are they both the same?
Overseas is cheaper, but, and I think this is a positive but, and this is especially true post-pandemic, the cost of manufacturing, the gap is shrinking. And what I mean by that is that in post-pandemic, the work, because again, the economy, we do not as a nation live on a deserted island. The world, especially when it comes to commerce, is globally interconnected. The very first trade agreement the United States ever had was shortly thereafter the founding of America with the country of Morocco. We are an internationalized industry and an economy now, Michael. So the gap is starting to more and more shrink, which means that the cost to manufacture in America are now starting to become more and more comparable with overseas. That's a positive.
Yes.
That's a positive, and we got to keep at it.
And, you know, just want to add one last thing before we go to Bruce, and that is people agree more and more that there should be mandated tariffs on everything coming from overseas. What that would do is give a little bit of a financial edge to the American producers. The tariffs on imported products help American-based businesses. And by the way, our stuff is sent over, what little stuff we're sending, to foreign countries, and they are charged a tariff. And in many cases, not only a tariff, but the people then pay an additional tax, the value-added tax. I've been to Europe 9 times. I know the whole system, the VAT tax, very well. And I know all about how those products are tariffed because, mainly because the people in those countries don't want their people to be without a job. So they go for that. In America, we look more and more for Uncle Sam to be our guardian. And that's not good. Bruce, how are you doing?
Hello, Michael. I'm doing fine. Hello, Rich, Mark, Larkin. Glad to be with you today. I'm going to follow on with a lot of what Rich was talking about in terms of supply, and all of you, actually. Some of you may know that I am involved in the casual furniture industry, the outdoor furniture industry. And they had their big show in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't there, but I've been in touch with a whole bunch of people who were there who said that the show was the worst attended for years, and it's moving to Atlanta. Just some of the stories of supply chain, many of the companies that were selling furniture there to dealers import their products. And these dealers who purchased product in container loads back in September or October of 2020 are only getting them this year in April, May, and now. And what this happens to the industry is that the reps are out there trying to sell containers for next year, which will probably be on time. But if you've been waiting all that time and your furniture's only just arrived, you're not in the mood to buy another container until you've sold through what's come in. And guess what? As Mark says, we're in a recession, whether anybody likes it or not. And sales are not going to be good going forward. So people are going to be leery. And it's going to hit that industry and many industries hard. And when you think of costs of doing business overseas, one of the companies that I'm involved with manufactures patio umbrellas in China and Taiwan. And the owner of it is a very wealthy man, has just built a 1.5 million square foot facility just north of Beijing. And he was showing it off to the reps at the meeting they had, the show. And he showed pictures of a, I don't know whether any of you know about all-weather wicker, resin wicker. It's not real wicker made out of bamboo. It's made out of plastic. And that's the modern way probably some of you've got that stuff on your patios as we speak. But the process of weaving that on a frame is very intensely human derived. It takes time. So when you're paying people only a few bucks a day, it's very good to do that overseas. But now, for the first time in history, this guy showed a robot which attached weave to this armchair frame in about 4 minutes. And it was programmed to do that. And, you know, this is the future.
Right.
Is, you know, even our competitors out there with low wage employees are now resorting to robots because that's even cheaper. I don't know whether we're doing that here in the car industry and have done for a long time, but there's the future for you.
Bruce.
The thing I want to talk about is natural gas. The U.S., China has just made a $20 million contract, $20 billion contract, I don't know, with an American liquefied natural gas company to supply for something like 20 years liquid natural gas to China. And in Europe, there's a crisis over liquid natural gas because the U.K. is now providing Germany with natural gas. And that's all because the Russians have cut it off to Europe. And I don't know why we're allowing companies in the U.S. to sell natural gas to China. But they are.
Well, see, and, Bruce, those kinds of things are the things that I'd like to see addressed by the next Congress. There's only one thing that I'm concerned about. We are not that far from an election. We should be speaking to the people who are seeking the votes as to what they're really going to do. Most people don't know this kind of stuff is going on. I hate to say it, but many people are brainwashed by what they see on TV. Some don't even know what's happening in the world around them. All they know is one thing. The price of everything is going up. I went to the store and they didn't have it anymore. When I went back 2 weeks later, they had it, and it was about 20% cost more to me. And I said, well, this is the way it's going. And that is why, Bruce, I mean, I know that you're dealing with some foreign manufacturers, but I would like to see 50% of every one of those products made here in the USA. It's not going to happen overnight. It would take 2, 3, 4 years, but at least we're starting on something. The pandemic has brought to our attention that this has got to come to an end, or we're going to come to an end. People were complaining through my commentaries and papers that I was for tariffs. They said, well, Michael, tariffs will be just put into the main treasury of the United States, and then the politicians in the House and Senate will do whatever they want. I said, no, my proposal's the same. All money from tariffs has to go to restore the trade programs in America's schools, so that when you go somewhere, you call someone, they have knowledge of it. People don't realize, believe it or not, until a broadcast like ours, and there's not too many around like us that talk about it, even the bigger television stations are not talking about looking at labels. They're not promoting things like National Small Business Weekend, which takes place this first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month, and every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. Bruce, these people in foreign countries just did what they could do to make as much money as they can for their own benefit and for the people that they represent. Our people in America kept pushing everything to Uncle Sam. Everything is to Uncle Sam. No one knows. Somebody said to me, Michael, what about brand names? You're talking about brand names for furniture and things like that. I said, well, I hate to tell you, if a brand name is not in made in America, I really give it a second consideration unless there's no other product like it on the shelf. A brand name, nobody has to be, you know, married to a brand name if you know that you're going to be helping American workers. One more thing, Bruce, I want to ask your opinion on it. We have right now in America, I'm looking at the debt clock. And Mark, this is something also that you should look. We have 10,910,000 people receiving unemployment checks. We have 12 million people that are needed by America's businesses to go to work. How do we get those people that are on unemployment to at least go for a while to fill these jobs, especially jobs at the resorts and places like that where they can't even open up certain rides? We're focused on bringing stuff from afar to America, yet we're not taking a look at what's happening in America. I asked the gentleman in the unemployment office, and there's not many unemployment offices around. Everything is done online. And he said to me, it's a lot of work to get somebody off unemployment, even if it's temporarily for the summer, and then back on unemployment. I said, well, I think it would be worth it. He said, I do too, but not the government. The government people don't think that way. That's forcing you to do something that you were not going out and looking for on your own. What do you think of that, well, Bruce?
Well, it happens all over, and nothing's going to change, I don't think.
Is there a piece of legislation that could change it?
Well, there's always a piece of whether it's the right, you know, you've got to, when you come up with these pieces of legislation, they have a knock-on effect. What's good for one part of it is very bad for the other part of it. So it's, I just think that, you know, we live in a world of multinational companies. And, you know, you talk about foreign companies snapping up American companies. Well, guess what? You ought to be in Europe where American companies are snapping up European companies like nobody's business.
There's only one thing that's a little bit different about that. They may be investing in those companies, but they can't move them to other countries, and they have to stay within the country that they made the purchase. In our case, in the United States, we get somebody to do some production overseas, and within 4 or 5 years, they decide, they want to escape America, and they'll just move lock, stock, and barrel to another country. And all we are is waiting for those containers to come to the United States untariffed and just pay the bill as the American businessman has to sell it. That's the difference. Oh, I know people who invest, and they're very good about investing in different countries, but they're not going to move the jobs and those businesses out of those countries. In America, we did just the opposite. Yes, we allowed people to move out of the country, but we should have said, your headquarters have to stay here, you have to pay your taxes. And by the way, now everybody in the government is saying, we have to have a minimum profit tax on major corporations. Okay, that's...
You know, it happens in every country, Michael. You know, tell that to the people of Cadbury in England. An American equity company came and bought them, they absolutely decimated it and made half of the chocolate that was made in England under the name Cadbury, sent it to Hershey's. It's just one of those things. It's done all over the world.
Yeah, it's shipped. You're right. You're right. They can ship out anywhere in the world, but the business has to stay in the country of origin. And that's something that we didn't do here in the USA. We just allowed everything to just go as will. And that's where our country is left. Some of the big, beautiful cities that we knew probably 25 and 30 years ago have been decimated because the businesses moved. They're no longer in the country. They will never return to the country. So we have to open up new types of businesses that don't have the brand name, the Bruce Bassett Powell name, but the Bruce Roger name or something, that the person will buy the product because it does the job and you don't have to buy the brand name. And the product that can do the job is also located in the country where people are being employed from your own country. That's the bottom line. In Europe, and I know some of the European countries, they asked the question right away. Nothing over 80% could even be considered. 80% has to be made in the country. Then we can bargain with other countries, but we have to ask the question, why can't it be made in our country? That's the question. I get it all the time. Even when tourists come here, I speak to them and they say, oh, no, we can't allow that. That company never moved out of our country. It's just that they did go and sell to all over the world, but the company is still in our country. So it's a very ugly situation. Mark is seeing it. Rich is seeing it. I'm seeing it. Larkin's seeing it. We can't get stuff. Look at the thing that we went through during the pandemic. We couldn't get the chips. No chips because they were on their way on a ship to us. This didn't make any kind of sense. There were hundreds of thousands of things, in whether it was in computers or in cars or whatever. We were waiting for these chips to come over. That's an insult to the American people. That has to end. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, I want to say thank you to Bruce Bassett Powell for being with us today, and also to Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. I thought today was a good conversation. And, you know, I wish there were more programs like this on the radio and on TV where we could just talk like friends speaking to each other. It seems that the press is there, they're filling in time, but they're really not helping people get a message. They're just rehashing the same old thing. I think it's time for the people to be able to speak up what's really on their mind. And I want to say thank you to all of you responding to my commentaries, to rebroadcasts of our show, and for just looking around for the American Made label. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. May God bless you and may God bless America. Go out and buy American Made as much as you can.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.